Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Another terrific week behind us here. A lot of things are happening, and I'm going to get right into everything because we have a lot of territory to cover this evening, a lot of important material. Remember, if you want to call in and chat with me, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The number is right on the screen in front of you. Give me a call. I'm going to start tonight with something that worries me, scares me. I think America, the whole world is looking at us this evening and will continue to look at us over the next few days to see how we are going to handle a situation, a crisis that has occurred in most other countries in the world, on just about every continent, but has not happened to us in the United States. What am I referring to? I'm referring to those 50,000 children that in the last few weeks have moved, have walked from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, from Central America into Mexico, and from Mexico have walked into the United States. They're going into the United States through Texas. They're coming across the Rio Grande in rubber boats. These kids are 10 to 12 years old, basically, boys and girls. I saw a picture of them on the internet today. These are kids. These are my grandchildren and your grandchildren and your children. Most of them are in that 10 to 12 range. Some are as young as 4 years old. Some as old as 16 or 17. But most of them are, 12 years old. And they walked, and they're walking into the United States. And why are they coming here? Well, for two reasons. Some of them are looking for their parents who have come here for a better job but left the kids back home. Others are coming here because they had to get the hell out of Central America. Things are in turmoil. Little wars are going on. Drug wars are going on. Then they went to Mexico. These are just children. They don't have adults with them. And thought they would be safe. And they weren't safe because we all know the drug cartels are fighting each other like hell in Mexico now for several months. Everything is disjointed in Mexico, so they had to get out of there. And they walked from Mexico into the United States. They crossed the Rio Grande River. They didn't have adults shepherding them and telling them what to do. They made it on their own. Okay, what are we going to do now? We've got them here. We know Texas doesn't want kids. We know Texas doesn't want any immigrants. We know Arizona doesn't want immigrants. Put that aside. This is us now. There is a crisis. And how are the people of the United States going to react? This has happened in many African nations, in Libya, Angola, everywhere else. It's happened in Europe. Europe is flooded with immigrants from Syria, Afghanistan. They just walked across the mountain to another country looking for security, for safety, for food, just as these kids have done. And we help them. We're always sending money over immediately. We're sending plane loads of food and water and tents and portable toilets and everything. We're sending doctors and nurses. Now it's in our country. Are we going to take as good care? We should take better care of these kids because they are here. What I fear and what I'm afraid of, we're going to have another Katrina here, just as they did in New Orleans, which was a disgrace. It was a blot on the reputation of the United States. We could not take care of our own there when we had to. And I'm wondering, even though those kids aren't our own, children belong to everyone. These are the children of the world. And how is our country going to react? It's expected that this is going to continue. And these kids are just walking across the border. No one's stopping them. They're just walking across anywhere they can. They're crossing the Rio Grande. And this is, it's anticipated it's going to be 70,000 or 90,000 soon. Are we going to be what we're supposed to be and do the right thing? I'm not quite sure what it is, but I know this. We have to take care of them. All right, I'm going to move on now to something else that sort of involves kids and I think is quite important. Do you know whose birthday it was yesterday? It was Donald Duck's 80th birthday. You heard me, Donald Duck. And I think Donald Duck is important to this country also. I grew up with Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Pluto. I'm going to be 79 in 3 weeks. Donald Duck was 80 years old. We grew up together. And what am I a little disturbed about? Well, I didn't know it was Donald Duck's birthday when I got up yesterday morning. Why would I know? I remember my children's birthdays, my former wife's birthday, my father's birthday when he was alive, my mother's birthday. Sometimes I forgot, but generally I remember it. There's no reason for me to know Donald Duck's birthday. It'd be like me knowing your birthday. To the media, to tell me that today's Donald Duck's 80th birthday. Do you know what I discovered yesterday? I looked at the Key West Citizen. No mention of Donald Duck's birthday. I write for Conk Life. Once a week, I write a column for a local newspaper. This local newspaper also has on the internet every day news. They call it Conk Life E-Blast, and it's on the internet. Nothing about Donald Duck's birthday. I looked at the New York Times. I subscribed to all these things on the internet, by the way. I went to the New York Times. No mention of Donald Duck's birthday, except the New York Times puts out a little blurb here and a little blurb there that isn't part of the daily paper, but it's a news report. And they had a small news report I came across saying today's Donald Duck's 80th birthday. Now, how did I find out? Well, when I'm driving around, I listen to Sirius Radio. And I generally listen to Station 5 or Channel 5 and 6 because that's my times, folks. 5 is my college and law school years, and 6 is my time, the 1960s, when I was starting practicing law and raising a family. And I enjoy this music. It's understandable. And on channel Station 6, while I'm driving around yesterday, they said today's Donald Duck's 80th birthday, and I thought that was terrific, and I went back and checked all the newspapers, and it wasn't there. Later on in the day, someone I had mentioned it to called me to say, hey, I was driving around, I had Sirius Radio on, too, I was listening to NPR, and guess what? They announced it was Donald Duck's. The media should have carried it. I'm not making a big deal out of it, but there are important things in life, and they don't have to be heavy to be good things, to be enjoyable things. We should talk about things like Donald Duck's 80th birthday. Okay, now we are going to talk about something that is extremely sad and should burn your butt as it burns mine. It should gall you. It was announced this past week that half of the people in the United States, half of the working population in the United States, earns less than $27,520 a year. You heard me. Half of the working population in our country earns basically less than $25,500 a year. Not even a living wage. Half of this country makes less than that amount. You can't feed a family of four on $27,500 a year. You can't pay, even if you live alone, you can't pay a mortgage, a car payment, your health insurance, buy food, buy clothing, the basics of life. On $27,500 a year. That's why wives work today. That's why husbands and wives work two and three jobs. Because when you're making measly dollars, like $27,520 a year, that's what you have to do to survive and take care of your family. It is an absolute disgrace, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Our middle class is gone. Is gone. And we must resurrect it. But do we know we let the 1% keep running things and making all this money? It's going to be the end of this country as we know it. Very simple. Russia. I love Putin. I really don't. But this guy's got brass testicles, and he's getting away with murder, okay? You got to admire the guy. You hit him, and you hit him hard. He falls down, he gets right back up, and he hits you harder. We, because of Crimea, Ukraine, we imposed all these sanctions on him that were going to hurt him terribly. And we got some other countries to do it with us. And what happened right away? Because Russia must sell oil and gas. 75% of their gross income comes from the sale outside of Russia of oil and gas. So what did they do? They didn't look to Europe anymore for sales. They kept what they had. He immediately turns to Asia, and all of a sudden he's making deals with North Korea, South Korea, a $400 billion 30-year deal with China, and the word is out that he is presently negotiating with Japan to build a pipeline across Russia, put it under the water at the tip of Japan, and supply them with gas on a sweetheart deal as he did with China. Okay, what else did we do? These sanctions, We didn't sanction Russia. We didn't sanction Putin personally. But we did sanction, in effect, we tied up the bank accounts in the United States of some the heavy hitters in Russia, the people with money. They couldn't move their money out of our banks. What did Putin do this week? I give this man credit. In the last 2 years, he has had Russia deposit $21.6 billion, okay, in American banks. So American banks got that money to play with, and they love Russia. That's how it's done out there. In the last, this is terrific, in 1 week's time, Putin pulled out 61% of the Russian money from the American banks. He dropped the money in our banks from $21.6 billion to $8.4 billion. He said, you urinate on me, I urinate on you. You spit on me, I spit on you. This is a tough guy. We're not standing up to him right as yet. Which brings me to another point. We have these major corporations who are either American companies or they're foreign companies doing business big time in this country who make billions of dollars and pay very little, if any, money in taxes, and they have money sitting in offshore accounts in the trillions of dollars that haven't been taxed as yet. And who are we talking about? Well, I'm talking now about ExxonMobil, great American company, love these oil companies, and BP, British company, does big business here. They, the Gulf spill, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the spill that couldn't be capped, the worst spill in history, was BP's fault, okay? You know what they did? They defied President Obama this past week. Both companies signed mega contracts with state-owned Russian oil companies. Most, if not all, the oil companies in Russia are state-owned. Primarily did business with is a company called Rosneft, R-O-S-N-E-F-T. They signed these big-time contracts. Here we are trying to straighten Putin out, trying to straighten Russia out, trying to correct the Crimea situation, the Ukraine situation, and to stop him from trying to engulf and take over all the other former countries from the Soviet Union. And what do these companies do? Who are making all this money and able to move it out offshore and secrete it and don't pay taxes because our Congress of the United States over the last 20 years and our presidents passed laws and signed into law legislation that permits them to do it. And so what are they doing? They're looking at us and saying, screw you, we don't care. They're looking at our president, and they're defecating on him, ExxonMobil and BP. Which now brings me to another big company, General Motors. I'm upset with General Motors. I'm more upset with the Congress of the United States and how they're dealing with the situation. We know the problem with the ignition switch defect, which has caused 13 deaths and numerous automobile accidents and numerous injuries to people. And they knew in 2001, General Motors, that they had this problem and didn't do anything about it for 10 years, kept putting that ignition switch into cars. Absolute disgrace. Somebody's got to pay for this. Well, they paid him money, their asses. Here's what I got to say about this. They have a new president. Her name's Mary Barra. She appeared before Congress recently, and she said, well, let me tell you, because she just took over there in December, I think, at General Motors. She said, I got wind of this in December. I was not aware of the full implications of the problem, however, till January. She said, but I've done something about it. So I've had an investigation made. I brought in an outside source to do it. Yes, a law firm that represents General Motors. I have fired 15 people as a result of this investigation, and 5 others have been disciplined. Now, this report that their attorney came out with, that the cost to repair the defect when it was discovered in 2001 as they were making the cars was only 90 cents per car. Today, 10 years later, it's only $10. That $10 covers the cost of General Motors buying the part from a third party, sending it to a dealer, the dealer's time, labor, and putting it in the car. $10 a car. Well, here's what happened. They knew about this in December. They really knew about it in January. There's no question based on their own testimony that they had it down pat by the end of March. This is General Motors. And there were 2.19 million cars involved. And they said, we're going to fix this, okay? And they told Congress, we're going to, because other people had to appear earlier before Congress, we're going to have all the recalls out to the people who bought the cars by March 31st. And we're going to have all the parts available to all our deals by April 7th. Good luck. CNN did a check of 6 major dealerships on April 7th and found none of them had received parts. My concern is this. We were told 2 weeks ago that out of the 2.19 million cars, only 41,000 so far had had the defect corrected. We were told that more were not corrected because Delphi, who's the third party who makes the part, couldn't put them all out in time. We were also told by General Motors, you know, a lot of these people get recall notices, they don't do anything with them. I can't believe in this situation that was the case because you're reading about people dying on the highways because suddenly the car locks up. Something's wrong, okay? I think they were BSing the people. Now she goes into this hearing last week, Mary Barra, and she says, you know what, we found more defects, not pertaining to the ignition switch. And I want to tell you something. We're adding that to the list. And as a result, I want to tell you we now have reached not 41,000, but it's 113,000 cars. Still a drop in the bucket when compared to 2.6 million. I think they came up with the extra 500,000-600,000 cars with a defect not the same because they needed more fixed numbers to present to Congress when she talked. That's how the hell they got in 2 weeks from 41,000 to 113 million. What I'm is that no one in this congressional investigation, no one sitting on there in, you know, in television land smiling at Mary Barra and are happy that she said, mea culpa, we're sorry, we did wrong, we paid a $35 million fine, which is like them paying $20 for a fine, you and I paying a $20 fine. And they were happy that she was being so cooperative and so open with them. But no one ever asked, why not more cars fixed? We are into the sixth month of the year. A significant number of cars should be fixed, not 41,000 or 113,000, because all these people in Washington can do that we send there, they sit and smile, and they say, oh, there's a problem, and we're going to take care of it, and they don't do diddly dip, okay? They're led by their noses by someone, in this case, General Motors, because our congressmen and their staffs don't have the confidence to question and get into the detail as to why. That's what I think. You don't have to agree with me. Now, I want to talk about something that I didn't know, and I learned, and probably you didn't know, or maybe you did, you're smarter than me, which many people are. I'm talking about public jobs, not working jobs that I would have or you would have. I'm talking about construction jobs, a new highway, a new school, a new fire station. Well, whether you are a village, town, or city, or a county, or a state, you bond to do this work. You bond. You go out and borrow the money, sell bonds to do the work. And what normally happens is the legislative body agrees, they vote, we're going to bond this project for $10 million because that's what it's going to cost. And then they go out and sell the bonds, and they got the $10 million to pay for the job, and then they pay the bonds off over a period of time. Well, a report came out this week. Guess what? All these jobs, if you got a $10 million job out there, $10 million job that's bonded, you know what the cost is for that job? Really, it's twice the amount that was bonded. In this case, $10 million would become $20 million because there's interest built in. Think about how you make your mortgage payments. All that interest. Well, there's interest on these bond notes. So a $10 million job is $20 million. A $100 million dollar job is $200 million. No one ever tells us this. Why don't they do it the real way, the right way, the open way, and say, look, this is a $10 million job with interest that's going to cost $20 million. That's what we have to bond for. They don't, or somehow, it's not going to save them any money, but it's going to be more honest with the people. And our governments don't do that, and I don't know why. Because there's no question based on economic studies that infrastructure construction, the sticker price, has become a sticker shock because it actually doubles over the course of time that it is being paid. We're now going to go to Argentina. But before we do that, I'm going to go to Nazi Germany. Remember Joseph Goebbels? He was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler. Joseph Goebbels. The guy lied. He said, these aren't his words, you know, tell the people a lie enough times, they'll believe it. He was a bad guy. He was the guy who said, you know, he was one of the leaders of the Jews have to go down. We have to exterminate the Jews. That's the reason why we're having all our problems here. It was they, the Jews and the money. They screwed up the economy, and now Germany's suffering, blah, blah, blah. Well, Argentina has a Joseph Goebbels now. Argentina, their president is Cristina Kirchner. This week, she created and appointed to the position a new secretary, a cabinet-level position, Secretary for National Thought. Can you imagine? Argentina has a secretary now for National Thought. She claims she did it to bring intellectuals together to think about joint project. I say, BS, bullshit. What she's trying to do is control the news and make it lean to whatever way she and her government wants it to be. And the only way she could do it, and this doesn't make sense to me, is create a secretary for national thought. Well, Hitler created one for propaganda. He had a propaganda minister, that's what he called him. So what's the difference? A lot of nice things happen here in the Key West area, and I want to talk about it. And it happens with fish and mammals and things of that nature. We're a very kind, loving area, not that other parts of the country aren't. But right now we got a couple of things in the news that I wish to share with you. Catherine. We all know Catherine. She's been on the national news. Catherine is a 14-foot great white female shark, weighs, I don't know, 2,400 pounds or something. And they got a new thing going with these sharks. They have what they call these GPS trackers. And what they do is they push it into the dorsal fin, the fin on top of the fish. And whenever that dorsal fin breaks the water and comes up into the air, it beeps, it pings. So people here that are following the shark know where it is and what it's doing. Turns out that Catherine, they gave Catherine the name, started off in Cape Cod last summer. And all of a sudden, she was down off Vero Beach, Florida. And then last week, she was off the Keys. She was down here for about a week. She screwed around in the Keys out here, and that's not the proper word. She floated around. By the way, it's been learned for the first time that a great white can swim 100 miles a day. Now, last week, she was between Key West and Cuba. She was heading for the Gulf of Mexico, and she's made the turn. She's not totally into the Gulf yet. Why is this important? Because scientists who understand and study great white sharks know that the great whites normally get pregnant in the Cape Cod waters. They also know that the great white female sharks give birth in the Gulf of Mexico waters. They go there to give birth, which is interesting because they were saying 2 weeks ago that if Catherine didn't continue going around the Keys, towards the Gulf, and instead went back to north to Cape Cod, that she wasn't pregnant. Now they're pretty certain that she is pregnant. Another thing they learned, and she's doing well, by the way, another mother's doing well, she's not a mother yet, is that they always thought sharks swam in groups and stayed within their group, and there would be many groups of great white sharks. They found that isn't the case, because she left Cape Cod and sent her way to the Gulf of Mexico. She left her group. And the only reason she would have gone back if she wasn't pregnant, to get pregnant up there. Must be that's the place to do it and doing well. Which now brings me to Yertle and Mac. Yertle, Y-E-R-T-L-E, and Mac. We have a turtle hospital in the Keys, in Marathon, the Marathon Turtle Hospital. We like turtles. We like all kinds of fish and animals down here. It's wonderful, I got to tell you something. Anyhow, 3 weeks ago, it's a turtle hospital. On the water, on the ocean. Yertle showed up. They named her Yertle. And she was in bad shape. She ended up in the boat basin of the turtle hospital with a line wrapped around her body, a fishing line. One fin was completely cut off. The other one was cut to the bone. She had other problems, and they didn't think she was going to make it. They right now, as of today, her condition is guarded but improving. She's still alive, and they're hopeful. She's got, still got a 50-50 chance of making it. The same day, Max showed up. Max, a turtle, too. Max, a baby green turtle, and she showed up in the boat basin later the same day that Yurgle showed up, and she was wrapped in a fishing line. But her real problem was she has eye problems. She has tumors, can't see. She's not responding well to treatment over the last 3 weeks, and they've called in a veterinary ophthalmologist. Can you imagine a veterinary ophthalmologist coming to Marathon Turtle Hospital to take care, of, hopefully, of Max's problems? Why am I sharing this with you? Well, it's a nice thing that we do this, but what's interesting is both of these turtles found their way to the turtle hospital. They found their way to the waters in front of the turtle hospital, in the boat basin of the turtle hospital. This is only the third time in 30 years this has happened this way. The question arises, I'm laughing as I say this because I'm the one who made this up, but I don't know, is it true that now the turtle hospital boat basin has become the waiting room for turtle seeking admission? Whatever, God bless for taking care of Yurtle and Mac. Okay, I'm going to talk about the Sunnis woman for a moment, the one who was raised Christian, never knew her father, he deserted the mother, the father was Muslim, she married a Christian, she had one child and was pregnant with another, and the government said, in Sudan, the Muslim government, you can't be a Christian, your father was a Muslim. And under the law, if your father's a Muslim, you must be a Muslim, so you must renounce your Christian faith, or we're going to kill you. Generally, they hang them, but in Sudan, not hang them, they crucify them on a cross. I wrote an article on this, if you recall. With her, they sentenced her to death by hanging, but she happened to be 8 months pregnant, and they said, look, we want you to give birth to the child, it was going to be a daughter, and we want you to nurse that child, to take care of it for 2 years, and then we're going to hang you. Well, and she refused to give up Christianity. She's put in jail in a cell with her 20-month-year-old to take care of him, too, and squalor and bugs. For every description, it's a shitbox, the only way I can describe it. This pregnant woman, 8 months, has put it in there. Now, I've talked about this before. You've probably heard about it. It's in all the news media. And everywhere, all democratic countries are saying to Sudan, this is terrible, let her go. The Vatican saying, this is terrible, let her go. You can't do this. And they were hard-assed, the Sudanese government. They're going to crucify her. This is a religious thing as far as they're concerned. Last Saturday, the Sudanese government said, a week ago Saturday, I'm sorry, the Sudanese government said, we're going to let her go. She had a baby, by the way, a baby girl. And the baby girl she's taking care of now in jail in the cell. We're going to let her go. But the next day they said, we can't let her go, because it's up to the courts to let her go, and nobody's heard from the courts on this issue for about 10 days. So she's still in jail. What bothers me even more is it just came out about 2 days ago that she, the entire time she's been in jail, has been chained to the wall. Her legs have been chained to the wall. She has been shackled. They didn't even take the chains and shackles off when she gave birth. She had to give birth, and I say this specifically to the ladies listening, while she was shackled and chained to the wall. How disgraceful. These people are crazy. Even more crazy are our people in Washington that put up with this stuff and send our boys over to die to help these people and everything else. We should leave them all alone and let them take care of themselves and kill each other off. That's the show for this week. I thank you for joining me. The show is archived, as you know. You can, if you didn't catch it here, you'll catch it later on. It's on YouTube. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like my show, buy the book. You can get it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Nice talking with you this week. Please join me again next week. I love doing the show, and I love the fact that you listen in. Good night.